We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to our Sunday live show, Lions vs. Cleveland Brown on Spotify Green Room. This Green Room is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. If you use promo code PRIDEPOD, they will match up all the way up to $100 of your first deposit. So go use them on the pick'ems for this NFL Sunday. You could use it for Monday night, Thursday night. If you don't even want to use it on football, you could use it on basketball, hockey. Baseball season not going on right now, but there's many other sports you could use it on. College football Saturday, so there's many options you could use it on. I got my two guys, as always, Pierre, Malcolm. How you boys doing today?
I am doing well. I'm excited. We get to watch TB12 play. Let's go.
Malcolm, how you doing?
Finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room.
I just want to comment on Peter saying he's excited to see TB12. And, you know, I like a lot of people usually are excited to see TB12, but I heard he's not playing today. I heard he's playing on Monday Night Football versus the New York Giants. Did I misinform or what's going on here?
Yeah. Tim Boyle, his initials are TB and his number is 12. So
okay. You know, I'm actually wearing my Tom Brady shirt right now just because Tim Boyle is starting and you gave him the nickname TB12. So, you know, maybe I'm hoping something rubs off. I'm wearing my Tom Brady drunk t-shirt when, you know, they won the Super Bowl last year, the avocado tequila. So I'm hoping some of Tom Brady, I hope we can get like 5% of Tom Brady tonight out of Tim Boyle. That'd be phenomenal. So we'll see how that ends up going. All right. Let's talk about the inactives coming into this game. Lions, Cleveland Browns. You know, we said there's some injuries to watch out throughout the week on Wednesday, so I'm going to kick it off to you, Pierre. What's the Cleveland Browns inactive report looking like right now?
Yeah, so wide receiver Anthony Schwartz, their speedster, he's out. Wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones, he actually got hurt during the week, and he's out. He's their wide receiver, too. Cornerback Troy Hill, their starting Nicholas out. Cornerback A.J. Green, he's out. Defensive end Tack McKinley, he's their backup pass rusher, he's out. Defensive end Ifadi Odenigbo, he's out. And then defensive tackle Sheldon Day is out as well. Something to keep in mind with DPJ out, they're going to roll with Jamarcus Bradley. I have no idea who that is. We'll find out who he is today.
I think something to mention as well, even though it was expected, Baker Mayfield was on the injury report this week, was expected to play. And now with this inactive report, it also confirms that he is the starting quarterback today. So the Lions will be getting Baker Mayfield and not Case Keenum. Malcolm, what's the Lions inactive report looking like today?
Yep. So Detroit Lions injury report, we have wide receiver Trinity Benson. He is out today. Linebacker Trey Flowers, he is out today. Quarterback, big one, Jared Goff, he is out today. Running back DeMar Jefferson, he is out today. Linebacker Jesse Lemonnier, he is out today. Tackle Matt Nelson, he's out today. And new kicker, Riley Patterson, is out today.
Which obviously we've been talking all week about Tim Boyle probably going to get this start. So that's not a surprise. I guess one of the surprises on the inactive report is the kicker stuff, because Riley Patterson was claimed by the from the New England Patriots by the Lions earlier in this week, obviously because of the kicking the kicking show we had last week with Ryan Santoso. So the Lions claimed Riley Patterson from the New England Patriots practice squad, which when you do that, you obviously have to put him on your 53-man roster because they stole him. You can't just sign him and put him on your practice squad. If they want to do that, they would have to waive him and then hope he clears waivers, and then you would stash him on your practice squad. But since the Lions stole him from the Pats Patriots squad, he has to be rostered on the 53. And the Lions also signed free agent kicker Eldrick Rosas. He used to play for the New York Giants. I believe he played for the Saints earlier on in this year. So he will be your starting kicker for today. And, you know, Pierre brought up something interesting to me yesterday, that the Lions are now stashing two kickers. I think now what it looks like to me is that Riley Patterson may be more of their development option, and they're going to see what they could do with him. And Eldrick Rosas will probably be for the kicker for the time being. I mean, this thing could switch up very quickly if Rosas has a bad game. So, you know, Riley Patterson's name could be called very shortly if Rosas doesn't look good today or you know, in the upcoming week. So the Lions' new kicker this week will be Eldrick Rosas. Austin Seibert is still on IR and will miss at least another week. So that's some kicker news.
Yeah, with the kicker news too, when you sign a player off someone's practice squad, they're guaranteed 3 weeks of salary. Yeah, so yeah. The Lions will probably hang on to him. And also special teams coordinator Dave Fett, he said they liked him a lot during the pre-draft process.
Riley, you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay, he's a rookie, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they signed him off the Patriots practice squad. They liked him. So I think they're going to develop him. We'll see how this goes. If Rosas just balls out, maybe they release him, or if he struggles, they keep him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Rosas was kicking earlier this year, I believe, for the Saints when Will Lutz was out. And then I don't know how he honestly did. Do you have those numbers by any chance, Pierre?
I could pull them up for you, but I could tell you this. Rob did not like him.
Okay, so if you guys are asking who Rob is, that's Pierre's brother, and he is a New Orleans Saints fan. So, okay, there is some news. All right, let's talk about...
He's 45% on the year, Tyler.
45%?
25. It looks like he was 1 for 4. Oh, wait. 2. Here, I'll pull it up right here. Last year, he was 1 for 4 this year. Last year with the Jaguars, he was 8 for 11.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob did not like him at all. I remember.
Okay. Well, there's our starting kicker for today. All right, Malcolm. You see the inactive reports now. I'm not going to say optimistic because he didn't sound necessarily optimistic about Tim Boyle, but you're coming into the Sunday, Lions, Browns, no Jared Goff. Tim Boyle's a starting quarterback. You know, just how are you feeling today? Like, you know, like, do you think something crazy could happen today?
You know, as crazy as this sounds, I still kind of feel like I just don't know. I just don't know right now. Could he have a Mike White effect? I don't know. I doubt it, to be honest with you, man. You know, there's not much tape on Tim Boyle. It's really hard to see what he can do. I mean, the only thing you can really go by is what you've seen in preseason, and that's not really much. But damn it, if you go to his college numbers, they're damn near horrific. His college numbers were really bad. I'm shocked that he even made it to the NFL.
Doesn't he have like a crazy amount of interceptions or something like that?
Yeah, so when he started for UConn, in 25 games, he had 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions. Then he transferred to Eastern Kentucky because he was so damn terrible with UConn. And in 11 games, he had 11 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. So it's just
how the hell did he make it to the NFL? Hold up. Like, these are not big-time college football schools, and those numbers are horrific.
They're terrible.
Yeah, the reason how he made the NFL is because he has a big arm, he has some traits to work with, and the Packers developed him, they liked him. They used him as a quarterback, too. That's how he made it to the NFL, because of his arm. And he's very smart, too. He has a high football IQ, apparently, so... For a backup, you know, most backups are clipboard guys. They help with film and stuff, so... Yeah. See why.
So maybe he has like a future coordinator in his future. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he's one of those guys.
It's possible.
Maybe he's one of those guys.
That's
you know,
just,
but damn it, as a player.
That's just interesting because when you see those type of numbers, you just think they make a lot of bonehead decisions. If you see the ratio of touchdown interceptions, you know, interceptions are leading, that just, I don't know, that makes me question the decision-making. But, like, I would have to go back to see how those interceptions were happening. And, you know, because I'm not going to lie to you, I act like I watched Tim Boyle in college. I didn't watch a single snap of him in college. So
I haven't either.
So I'm not going to lie to you and act like, you know, I'm not going to just base it off the numbers because numbers are sometimes misleading. So, but no, those numbers are definitely not good for Tim Boyle in the collegiate level. So I don't know what to expect today. I expect that they'll try to attempt a pass more than what we saw last week. I attempt that maybe they look for more of a big plays just because of his arm. But overall, I think the identity for this team that's always been going into the season, and I think they found it a little more recently, is going to be that running game. And I think they're going to lean on that a little more today than, you know, trying to have Tim Boyle try to win the game. They're going to try to have everything, you know, be perfect outside of Tim Boyle and where he could maybe just be good enough to win the game, which in this type of matchup, it's very difficult because the Cleveland Browns do a lot of things good and your team doesn't do a lot of things good. So it's going to be a difficult matchup for Tim Boyle. I believe this is his first career start. So, well, I guess we'll see how it goes. Pierre, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, when you look at the Browns' defense, we talked about it. They're good at stopping the run. They're good at defending the pass. But also, Tim Boyle has a strong arm, and he throws it down the field. Like, how many passes has Goff completed this year that are, like, 30 or 40 yards, like one or two? I think we might see three or four today just from Boyle.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Also, I think the Lions are going to try to run the ball, keep Cleveland's offense off the field, and just try to run it up their gut. It's going to be hard, though, because, like we said, they are, what, 11th in stopping the run, I believe? 11th in run defense? Yeah, so running backs are averaging less than 4 yards a carry against them. So it's a tough matchup.
You know,
You look defensively now for the Lions. What's something that they should try to do today? Like, what
stack the box. Plan? Forget the cover two. Forget the two-man. Baker Mayfield's playing hurt. You got backup wide receiver Rashard Higgins because they released Odell. You have DPJ is out. You have Jarvis Landry who struggled this year. Their O-line literally moves people. You got to stack the box. Baker Mayfield is hurt. Nick Chubb is back. Stack the box. Forget about the pass. If they beat you by the pass, let them do it.
I was going to say, though, one thing we haven't mentioned is like wide receiver Josh Reynolds is making his debut today.
He is. I mean, I think that the reason they brought him in was more of a connection for Jared Goff. But no, that's definitely going to help just in general for the Lions receiving corps because they needed anybody right now. Not that necessarily Josh Reynolds is some great receiver and that we found some like hidden gem. I think just looking at this receiving corps and how bad it's been this year, I think any spark will help right now. And I think Josh Reynolds' experience in the league and experience starting in the league on some good football teams, I think it's going to definitely help him. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to implement him more in the offense. I think now he's more, you know, used to the playbook. So that's why he's playing his first game today rather than when they claimed him on Thursday. He didn't have enough time to prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think now that he has had about a week and a half to prepare for the Cleveland Browns and the playbook is now more, I think he's more open to it now. I think it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, they're going to implement him more. I mean, he might be the wide receiver one today. He realistically can be the wide receiver one today. I would not be completely shocked.
I mean, who else is going to be the wide receiver one? Cordell Hodge?
No, it wouldn't be Cordell Hodge. It would be Khalif Raymond, if anyone, or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah,
and another thing today, like, they have to get Hodgson involved.
They do.
Just have to. Last week, I believe he had one target, zero catches. He's your best receiver, whatever you want to call it, offensively, him and Swift. You got to get those guys involved. Swift was involved last week. You got to get both involved early and often. Does it make sense for him to have zero targets or one target for zero catches? That's
It was essentially zero targets. Should have been zero targets. He should have not even passed that ball to T.J. Hockenson. It was that tight end screen pass, so he should have had zero targets.
That shit was funny. It still makes me laugh because he was still engaging his block.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He should have had zero targets.
And then he threw it. That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, like that should not have been been considered a target. I know it technically is, and it was going his way, but I mean, my goodness. I mean, he was not ready for that ball at all. Something we didn't mention either. You mentioned Josh Reynolds. We got Jamal Williams back this week, which is huge because I think last week they found something in those other running backs, Jamar Jefferson, you know, in very limited opportunity before he got hurt. You know, he broke off a big run, and then you had Godwin Ikubuke. You know, they flashed him a little bit. But I think getting their big power back, I think that's going to help this line's offense a little bit and just the run game in general. So, I'm happy for that because, you know, last week we mentioned that Swift was getting a little runned out towards the end of the game. You know, he just was being overused to a certain degree because, I mean, they weren't doing anything besides using DeAndre Swift. So I think, you know, having a healthy mix between Swift and Williams again, I think that helps the Lions run game a lot. And, you know, the way to beat the Cleveland Browns is you kind of got to play their type of football. I said this last week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to kind of play their type of football and you got to play the uglier game. And what I mean by you got to play the uglier game is you got to, you know, own the time possession. You got to try to run this ball, and that's how you're going to win the game. As long as you keep the Cleveland Browns off the field for as much time as possible, you're giving your chance to win a lot better, obviously. So I think it's going to come down who could play the uglier game. Obviously, I would lean more towards the Browns doing that, but, you know, with Jamal back and you got Swift, you know, I think the Lions are going to try to play an ugly football game, and they're going to try to play like that Cleveland Browns identity a little bit.
I want to see how they're going to do it because last week we saw a lot of they had like a heavy set formation that they were using when they had Matt Nelson, and that's what's creating those big giant holes. Now, Matt Nelson's out today. I know they re-signed Mr. Skipper. I'm wondering, are they going to possibly use Dan Skipper as that Matt Nelson and try to still go?
Skipper's on the practice squad.
He's on the practice squad. So, wow. So, okay. So, never mind.
Yeah, he's well-holded if they're going to do that formation.
Or Kramer, yeah, the elevated Kramer.
Tommy Kramer from
Notre Dame. Maybe Tommy Kramer, there. Maybe? I don't know.
He kind of has that Matt Nelson type of build. I know he's a guard, but he's got like that little gumpiness. You know, I could see it. I could see him maybe trying that. We'll see. All right. I got an update on the Lions uniforms for anybody curious. Lions are rocking white jerseys. Gray bottoms. Anonymous is saying Jason Kubinda time.
Let's go.
We'll see about that. All right. You guys want to get a couple callers before the game, and then we can do our predictions. Yeah,
predictions, man.
I forgot about predictions. All right, Mark, what you got for today? Who do you got winning?
All right, so I have. So if we're going by the spread, I think the spread is 12.5. I have, it's a pretty big number. I actually do not have the Browns covering the spread, but I do have them winning. And I'm going to say the score is going to be 28-21 Browns. This is another game that, you know, we're playing a team that's just better than us. You know, defensively, look at who they have defensively. Look who we have defensively is it's two different worlds. I mean, they're a better team than us. They have more talent than us. So I do see them winning this game. As far as a bold prediction, I'm going to say Tim Boyle has 250 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, I got something very good for you then, if you believe like that, because they, on Underdog, they're disrespecting our boy Tim Boyle. You know what his yard total is like that they have him at right
210?
Now? 177.5.
I mean, look who he's playing against, bro.
Yeah, I mean, but 177.5, I think that's my favorite Underdog pick. I know I just spoiled it. I was going to get into that after, but that's my favorite pick of the day today.
You taking over on it?
As an over, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could just check the ball down all day and he can get that number.
There was another one I liked. I don't think I did the yards one, even though I liked that one a lot. I did the completion one. It was only 18.5 completions. I think he could throw 19 or more completions by far today. Not by far, but I think he could do it.
Yeah, or he could just completely suck and just get under and not do anything.
That's possible, too.
I just feel like 19 completions is not much, especially the way I imagine this game is going to go. I feel like it could be an ugly game. The Lions are trying to come back, and you know it could be a lot.
It's raining today, by the way, guys. It's raining in Cleveland.
Oh, great. Beautiful.
I mean, I'm not really too worried. I mean, he doesn't have small hands like Goff, does he? Yeah, I don't think so.
The thing is, I mean, sure. I've never seen the Lions have so many weather-affected games this, like in a season. I feel like this has been the most weather-effective season we have seen. Like, we had the Green Bay.
With rain?
Just rain or like just something like the weather forecast has something, you know, involvement in the game. Not that that's an excuse. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but like we had the Green Bay game on Monday Night Football. We had the Pittsburgh game last week. And then even Peter said this week, we could expect some rain. So it's like, I feel like we never have this much, you know, weather forecast to watch out for in a season until, you know, this year.
It hasn't been too bad. I'm still waiting for another Eagles game like we had
in 2013.
I'm waiting for another game like that, bro.
We haven't had a game like that in the NFL in a while.
That game was hilarious. That game was awesome. Like you see Stafford still trying to throw the ball deep in those kind of conditions, throwing to Calvin. That shit was hilarious. That shit was awesome.
I remember Calvin Collins, and then his whole like helmet, his whole face mesh, had a bunch of snow. He's wiping it off. That's awesome.
We need another game like that.
It doesn't have to be the Lions. We just need another NFL game like that. Yeah. I feel like we haven't had one like that in a while. And I feel like just like the, you know, the weather team. I mean, like the grounds crew team at the stadiums. I just feel like they're so much better at cleaning up stadiums. Even though like a game like Philly, you can't control anything like that.
Yeah.
But like I mean, no, I know like last year we had that Sunday night Tennessee and Green Bay game. We had some snow, but it was nothing like that Philly and Detroit game. No. All right, Peter. What's your prediction for today?
All right. So Malcolm took my bold prediction. I was going to say 300 yards and three touchdowns, but I don't want to use that. Let's say the Lions O-line allows no sacks.
Oh, that's a bold prediction.
In my prediction, it's going to be raining. Both teams are kind of like banged up. Lions, they're kind of shorthanded, right? And then the Browns, Baker Mayfield's banged up. They don't really have any receivers. So I'm going to go 23-20 Browns.
Close game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be ugly. Baker's playing her Boyle's first start. Injuries on both sides of the ball. I've seen the Lions injuries are more on IR, but still. I just think it's going to be ugly. It's going to be an ugly game.
Okay. I'll go 28-10 Cleveland.
Oh
my God.
You're expecting the ass whooping. That's what you're expecting.
I don't think it's going to be a good game. I really don't think it's going to be a good game. I just don't know what to expect from this Lions offense. It's going to be something to watch out for. I know we got Jamal Williams back. I know we got Josh Reynolds back. But I don't know what to expect out of Tim Boyle. I don't know. Hopefully I'm wrong. I got 28-10 Cleveland. So that would be Cleveland covering the spread. So I take the Browns 12.5. Bold prediction. My bold prediction. The Lions will hold the Browns passing attack to under 150 passing yards. I don't know.
Ooh. I'm shocked nobody's bold prediction is that
okay.
We'll see David Blau this game.
I don't know, man. If last week wasn't enough to put David Blau, I don't know what is enough to put David Blau in the game.
Probably never going to see David Blau. It's probably never going to happen. Anonymous.
So.
What up?
What's happening? What's happening?
What's up, man?
Man, chilling. I'm praying. I'm praying we get a victory today, guys.
You praying that we gonna eat a W?
I got W's cooking on my stove right now. About to throw them on the grill. I am praying.
Let's go, man.
It's gonna happen today. Yo, but I'll be real quick. Lions offensive game plan. You guys said it earlier in your podcast earlier this week. The Browns are not that strong defending the run up the middle. And they're a little bit weak in their safeties and in their nickel. So it's pretty simple. Rolling there with big formation. Hockenson, two running backs. Right. Switching out between Jamal Williams and Swift on the field at the same time. And Jamal Williams or Swift and Jason Kabinda. Run the traps right up the middle pretty much all day. And then from that, you know, scheme open Hockenson and or Swift out of the backfield so that they can get those one-on-one matchups against the safety and your nickel.
God damn it. Somebody need to refer Anonymous as a coaching for the Detroit Lions to have him coach Anonymous.
Yo, I sent them my resume. I sent them my resume 15 times. I don't get it. Times? They don't want to listen.
Maybe if you put your name, outside of Anonymous, they don't know who to contact. Your name is Anonymous Lions fan.
I guess that's not a good way to get a job there.
Maybe they've been trying to contact you this whole time, but your name is Anonymous. Yeah,
they couldn't find you.
You might be onto something there. So yeah, I guess I need to switch that up a little.
No, for real. He's on to something because, like, yeah, if they run some trap plays in the middle, you know, and attack the weak areas, I do think they can have some type of success on offense. But the thing is, just so tough, man, on defense.
Well, so, you know, another thing that the Lions hadn't really used all season yet. So going back to the preseason, it was raved so much how efficient not only Swift but also Jamal Williams were at catching the ball out of the backfield, but they've never even attempted passes to Jamal Williams. So if you put both of them on the field at the same time, everyone knows that Swift is a good receiver. Everyone knows that Hockenson is our only receiving threat, but no one's seen any pass attempts, any screens or anything go towards Jamal Williams. That could be a big a good strength for us if you put him against a linebacker. You know, he could probably get 4 to 5 yards, 10 plus, or maybe even break off a big one on every pass attempt towards him. So I don't get why they haven't done that yet. Also with Jason Kabinda, they don't even really use him anymore. And, you know, Campbell was so high on him.
Yeah.
He was out last week, right?
I think so, but I don't think it was injury related. He was? Okay.
Yeah, I know he was inactive last week.
Well, shit.
I believe he was hurt. I want to say something we forgot to say. I think today we're going to see Campbell pull out some tricks again like they did versus LA, because this team is just more talented and you got to do everything in your power to win the game. So I think we're going to see some tricks up their sleeves today.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I don't think this team is as talented as the Rams, where – you know, the Rams are like a team, like you can make one mistake and still lose the ball game. The Cleveland Browns, you can make a couple mistakes in the game. They're a good football team, but you can make a couple mistakes in the game and you could still find a way to win a game. Where the Rams, if you make one mistake, it could bite you in the ass and, you know, it could be tough enough to come back and try to win that football game.
Hold on, just want to say something. David Holden, you're right. He did play last week. He got the fourth. It was him that got the fourth and one. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
He did play.
I remember that.
Yeah. He did play. Like, good looking out.
Yep. I thought he was hurt one of the weeks. I forgot which one.
He got hurt versus the Rams. I know that. Or it was the Rams game I think he missed. Or the Philly game. I think it was the Rams game he missed, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that would be my wild take. Jason Kabinda gets a few carries and targets. Because I think he's learned the fullback and tight end positions now.
Yeah, he plays tight end now a little bit as well. Sorry, Anonymous, what's your score prediction? You gave us a crazy bold take already. What's your score prediction?
Man, unfortunately, you know, as much as I hope the Lions could pull out the win, I really don't. I think I put it in chat. I don't see them scoring more than 13 points. if the defense could keep them in, I'm thinking it's probably going to be 17-13. You know, Browns.
Makes sense.
Unfortunately.
No, that's fine. Okay.
If the Lions defense could hold the Cleveland Browns to 17 points, even with the Herb Baker and a depleted receiving core, that's still impressive to me just with how their running attack is this year. I mean, I think they have the best run game in the NFL, even without Kareem Hunt. I think their guys, with Nick Chubb being back too, especially this week, with Nick Chubb and Dearness Johnson, I think that'd be very impressive if the Lions could hold the Cleveland Browns to 17 points.
You'll be shocked. I mean, look what we did last week. I mean, I know it's not Big Ben, but, I mean, we still played a team that's pretty similar. You know, really strong rushing
attack. And Baker makes some mistakes in the pass game, especially when his receivers are Jarvis Landry and, like, pretty much no one else. So,
yeah. I mean, the offensive line is night and day, though, compared to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, their O-line. Their O-line's unreal, especially in the interior. Right now, they're without Jack Coughlin, so their right tackle. Forgot his name. He's not that good.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a little different compared to Detroit and Pittsburgh. So, I would be impressed if the Lions defense could hold them to 17 or, you know, 20 or under. I'd be impressed, honestly. So, we'll see how that goes.
Might be a quick game either way. Both teams are going to run the ball. So, that clock is going to run by fast.
Yep. Both teams also get penalized a lot. I know the Browns get penalized, and we actually do too. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, everyone thought last week could have been a quick game because it was like, you know, ugly game plan versus ugly game plan, but game ended up using the whole extra overtime as well. So it ended up being, you know, like well into like, I feel like 4:30, almost close to 5 o'clock the game ended or something like that. It was late. All right. Is that it, Pierre? All we got?
Anonymous, right. Thanks for coming on.
That's it.
Thank you, fellas.
Yep.
Thank you, fellas. Y'all take it easy.
Coming on, bro.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, we will be on after the Lions game. So we'll be talking all about Lions, Browns. We'll talk about the good stuff, the bad stuff, and just whatever in general happens in this football game. And with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed the pregame, and we'll see you guys after the game. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Like Tyler said, thanks for coming on. Enjoy the game.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm. And just want to answer the question quickly in the chat. They're asking who's going to be calling the plays. Most likely it's going to be Dan Campbell still calling the plays this week. If not, you know, we might see Anthony Lynn call some plays. I don't know. But most likely it's still going to be Dan Campbell, just to answer that question. But, yeah, we'll be here after the game, either happy as hell or pissed off. We'll see. But with that being said, I'm out. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.